Open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to be in two chapters in the book of Jeremiah. We begin in Jeremiah chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse from this chapter, and that is verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away, God speaking to the children of Israel through Jeremiah. I had put her away, God had put away Israel, and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Now, the content of the writings of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc., were mostly a description of all the causes of Jehovah's divorce from Israel. Under Jewish law, before a divorce could be obtained, the husband had to put in writing the reasons for the divorce, which would be submitted to a tribunal of rabbis who would judge the case. As God divorced Old Testament Israel, as you know, he had called Israel his wife, and he had said he had married her spiritually. And so after Israel's wickedness and rebellion and stubbornness, God gave her a writ of divorce, or a bill of divorce, according to the Mosaic law. And that's what he's referring to in this verse. And notice, for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had her put away for all the causes and given her a bill of divorce. So most of the content of the books of the prophets were really nothing more than a description of all the causes of Jehovah's divorce from Israel. That's basically all it was. It was simply God, through his prophets, telling Israel why he was divorcing her. He was giving the indictments against her and the reasons for his divorce from her. So remember that as you read the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all that. And they are giving Israel, you've done this, 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 you've done this. In a similar fashion, as I have noted in the prophecy series, the book of Revelation is a written description of all the causes of God's divorce from Judah, the city of Jerusalem, the Jewish temple, and the Old Covenant Judaic system. That's what the book of Revelation is. It's the indictment against Israel and Judah, the expulsion and abolishment of the Old Covenant, and the introduction and proof of the New Covenant. It's all about the New Covenant. Now, in the Israel packages, this is number one, I brought a message entitled God's Divorce from Israel. I'm not going to re-preach that. It's in that package. You can listen to that message, and I go into more detail about how God divorced Old Testament Israel. So these dispensationalists, these Schofield futurists, who reject the idea that God divorced Israel, they say, oh no, he said that, but then later on he said, I'm going to take you back anyway. That's not what he said. We'll get to that in a minute, a little bit. If you take the position that God is still married to Old Covenant Israel, that means God is a bigamist. Because under the New Covenant, the church, the body of Christ, is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if God is still married to Old Covenant Israel, and he takes the church as his bride, God is a bigamist. I don't think so. That just shows you again the idiocy of the doctrine of premillennial dispensationalism and Schofield futurism. They don't think this stuff out. They just follow along what they've been taught. They regurgitate what they've been taught in seminary. It's foolish when you look at it from that perspective. So that's why it's important that you watch my latest prophecy message, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots. The title is important. That's the title of the chapter, chapter 17. It's the title of Babylon the Great. That's God's language. Why? Well, he's again giving the charges against Old Covenant Jerusalem of their idolatry and their whoredom, and the reason for God's abolishing that old covenant and introducing the new covenant and the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the church. And so chapter 18 and chapter 19 that we're going to preach yet will follow chapter 17. So it's important that you watch it. But it's the same kind of theme between the Old Testament, God's divorce from Israel, and Babylon the Great, part one, the Mother of Harlots. Now think about it. The United States is goading Russia and the Arab states into war. And don't think for a second that I'm exaggerating here. Washington, D.C. is goading Russia and the Arab states into war to support and protect, ostensibly, two nations whose capitals are among the most zealous in promoting the homosexual agenda, Tel Aviv and Kiev. Tel Aviv is the homosexual capital of the world. Tel Aviv is the abortion capital of the world. Kiev is the homosexual capital of Europe. Not to mention two capitals, Tel Aviv and Kiev, that are among the most wicked and corrupt capitals in the world. Then again, Washington, D.C. just might be the most corrupt capital of all. But we are goading Russia and the Arab states into war over the protection and the support of Kiev and Tel Aviv, two of the most immoral, ungodly, satanic cities in the entire planet. And America is willing to go into World War III over those two capitals. I guess birds of a feather really do flock together. Of course, the U.S. government officially recognizes the entire month of June. We're now at June 2nd. The entire month of June as Gay Pride Month. Now, the actual title is a lot longer than that. But that's in essence what it is. Officially, from Washington, D.C., we are supposed to celebrate Gay Pride Month for a whole month. So for the next 28 days, we're going to be subjected to all kinds of debauchery, shoving down our throats in grocery stores and television commercials and television programs and entertainment and politicians and parades and marches and all this stuff, which is nothing more than national blasphemy in the sight of Almighty God. God sees it all. Amen. And if you remember, he burned two cities to the ground over such things as this. In my column this week, I reported on the interviews that Clayton Morris had with 24-year Border Patrol agent in charge, J.J. Carroll. He told Morris that the Biden White House is engaged in a clandestine treasonous conspiracy with an Israeli NGO, Jewish Family Services, a.k.a. the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, HIAS, to transport tens of millions of criminal illegal aliens, most of them single, unattached military-age males, into the United States at taxpayer expense, amounting to billions of dollars. Carroll postulates that by year's end, there'll be between 40 and 50 million criminal illegal aliens in our country, and around 70% of these illegals are single, unattached, military-age men. My fellow Americans, we have a criminal alien army already living amongst us. The U.S. and NATO are deliberately pushing Russia into a corner where it will have no choice but to retaliate with nuclear weapons. When war breaks out abroad, war will break out within the United States. And no law enforcement agency in the country will be able to contain it. The citizens of America will have to defend themselves from this criminal alien army within our country, and no state will be exempt. Among the causes of God's divorce from Israel, which resulted in the Assyrian invasion, and Judah, which resulted in the Roman invasion, listed by Jeremiah, are those contained in chapter 34. So would you take your Bibles and turn to chapter 34. Hold your place in chapter 3. We're coming back. But turn to chapter 34. I'll begin reading in verse 12. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, At the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother and Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee. And when he had served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned around, and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty, every man to his neighbor. And ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant, and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, you have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Remember, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is, say it, liberty. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you. He's speaking facetiously by using that word. I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine. And I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. I'll take your nation from you. Everything that our founding fathers fought and died to bequeath to their posterity, us, is now being dismantled and destroyed by the very posterity our fathers fought and died to bless. You know, these children that have good Christian homes and they rebel against the good Christian teaching they receive from their parents, and they go into sin and wickedness and evil, I don't think God's going to have a lot of mercy on them. To whom much is given, much shall be required. There are a lot of young people that didn't have the luxury of being born in a Christian home. Their moms and dads were not saved, born again Christians. They did not teach their children the Word of God. They did not have that godly influence when they were young. They came to Christ later in life, maybe as a teenager, maybe as an adult, but later in life they came to the Lord, got saved, started serving God, etc. But they didn't have that background. Just like the Gentile nations of the Old Testament did not have the background of the law of God that was given to Israel. God gave to Israel his word. God gave to Israel his deliverer, Moses. God gave to Israel his prophets. God gave to Israel his blessings, his protection. God gave to Israel everything they needed. Blessed them above all the nations of the earth. Called them the apple of his eye. Took them under the shadow of his wings, so to speak, as a mother bird would protect her little chicks. And look what Israel did to Jehovah. See how Israel sinned and rebelled against him. Let me tell you something. God has given America much. And what is our posterity, the posterity of our founders, that gave us this land of freedom in which to grow and prosper and be free? Right now, both Joe Biden and Donald Trump and the Democrat and Republican parties are trying to put the American people into subjection by defining anyone who dares to criticize Zionist state of Israel as anti-Semitic and therefore subject to all kinds of persecutions. Donald Trump said last week that if he's elected in November, he will deport any and all college students that protest the Zionist genocide in Gaza or the Israeli government for any reason. I suppose that means deporting American college kids too, huh? no freedom of speech for Americans. Anybody to criticize Benjamin Netanyahu, the Zionist state, the Likud party, the genocide, the ethnic cleansing, the wars of aggression. I will deport any college kid who tries. This is the great savior of America, according to most evangelical Christians. Big business following the lead of big government, and they always do. Wait till I get to chapter 18 in the book of Revelation. You're going to love it. Big business following the lead of big government is already beginning to demote or dismiss employees that exercise their God-given right of free speech to criticize Netanyahu and the apartheid Israeli state under the charge of anti-Semitism. How long will it be when anti-Semitism, meaning the freedom of speech to protest, will be a criminal offense? The way things are going, not long. By the way, there was no violence on those college campuses until the police showed up, quoting Judge Andrew Napolitano. His words. Mark this down. Many of the most egregious persecutors against those of us who understand the Antichrist nature of Zionist Israel will be professing Christians. They will be the most egregious persecutors against us. I've said it for years. If I'm ever assassinated, I'll be killed by a professing Christian. John chapter 16 and verse 2, listen what Jesus told his disciples. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. They will kill in the name of Jesus those who preach and teach the truth about Zionist Israel. Listen to this report. This comes from Todd Starnes. Police and fire chaplains in Carlsbad, California, have been ordered to stop praying in the name of Jesus. Pastor J.C. Cooper has served as a volunteer chaplain for the police department for 6 years. The other day, he was asked to deliver the invocation at a police department awards ceremony. He concluded the prayer by invoking the name of Jesus Christ. Watch below and click here. You can see it. Afterwards, the city manager told Pastor Cooper that if he ever prayed in the name of Jesus again, he would be subjected to disciplinary action. In a call with City Manager Scott Chadwick and the police chief on April 25, Mr. Chadwick claimed that invoking Jesus was considered harassment, created a hostile work environment, and lifted one religion above another. Mr. Chadwick then told JC that he could pray using any other name or term for God, but he could not say Jesus. Same thing happened when Pastor Cooper's father, Denny, tried to deliver an invocation at the fire department. Against government policy. These are government agencies. police and fire departments are government agencies. It is against the law now, at least in that city, in California, to pray in Jesus' name. This is in the nation whose fathers, when fighting their war for independence and for our freedom, took the mantra, no king but Jesus. They were willing to fight and die for the name of Jesus. And now Christians are told it's against the law to use the name of Jesus in prayer. Now, it's not against the law to curse the name of Jesus and use his name in vain. That's not against the law. But it's against the law to pray in Jesus' name. How many other government agencies are beginning to implement this identical policy? I'm sure this will not be the last report we see concerning this. By the way, Gerald Celante interviewed Judge Napolitano this week, and both were doing their best to tell the American people the truth about Ukraine and Israel. They really were. I was proud of them. And during the interview, both Celente and Napolitano lamented the lack of church leaders who were willing to stand up for the truth. They both lamented that. Where are the church leaders to stand for the truth? Now, maybe somebody watching this message today, maybe some of you that are watching me now, can contact both Gerald Celante and Judge Napolitano and let them know that there is a pastor who is willing to tell the truth about both subjects and has been doing so for a long time, and his name is Chuck Baldwin. Send them to our Liberty Fellowship or our Liberty Fellowship website or our Liberty Fellowship YouTube channel. By the way, if you have not yet subscribed to our Liberty Fellowship YouTube channel, would you please do that as soon as possible? We'd appreciate that very much. Now, obviously, God cannot divorce America as he did Israel, because his bride in the New Covenant age is not any nation, as was the case under the Mosaic Law. It is the body of Christ, the church. But God was directly engaged in the founding of our country. And he has been directly engaged in blessing and protecting our country. And until Zionism gained control of America's pulpits and churches, America honored God, for the most part, his natural laws, and his holy word. But since America stopped blessing God and started blessing the Antichrist Zionist state of Israel, God has been pouring out his divine judgments on this country to the point that we are at today, on the verge of all-out nuclear war and all-out internal war against an invading alien force already inside our country. Now, folks, the destruction of Jerusalem was meant to serve as a warning to the New Covenant Church to not attempt to go back to the Judaic Old Covenant of the past. God had forever delivered his people from that corrupt system and given us a new, better, and everlasting covenant. So the destruction of Jerusalem was a warning, as we've said before, to the new covenant church. The old covenant is abolished, and there's no going back. But Christian Zionism has taken the church right smack in the middle of that old abolished Judaic system. And by doing so, has induced the judgment of God that fell upon Jerusalem to fall upon us. Do you understand that? Look what God did to the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Absolutely total annihilation. As a warning to the New Covenant Church. Don't even think about going back to the old Judaic system. Don't even think about it. And now, Christian Zionists dominate evangelicalism to the point that, as we read the letter today from that fellow who said that church, he watched the church celebrate Passover with rabbis according to the Mosaic law, as if the blood of Jesus Christ had never been shed and we still needed the old covenant symbol that Jesus' blood was yet to come, committing sacrilege in the church. And that is happening in evangelical churches all over America. They have brought in Jewish sacraments, ordinances, feast days, fastings, new moons, Sabbaths, going back to the system that God annihilated with the clearest example, the total destruction of Jerusalem. But we, as American churches, pastors, are going back to that very same system that God destroyed and said in so doing, let that be a warning for you, the New Covenant Church. And just as with the Judahites in 70 AD, today's evangelicals are too blind, too stiff-necked, and too proud to even see it. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 3, and I'm almost done. Verses 12 through 15. Jeremiah chapter 3. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. That would be towards Assyria, the nation that invaded and destroyed Israel. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. Israel had been demolished and invaded, destroyed. Many of the Israelites had been taken as slaves into Assyria. So Jeremiah is here addressing the enslaved Israelites in Assyria. Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. See, the illustration he's using as the wife in the divorce. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And this is the part I think is so appropriate for us today. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. He says to the people, if you will turn back to me, repudiate your wickedness, your stiff-necked rebellion towards me, if you will come back to me in love and tenderness, I will receive you, I will forgive you. And as a token of that forgiveness, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The fact that 80% of America's evangelical pastors, and that would include the colleges, universities, and seminaries in the evangelical churches, are promoting proudly, stubbornly, promoting the Antichrist Zionist system. Shows you that the Christians of America, on the whole, are living in a backslidden condition. Pastors teaching lies are God's judgment on a backslidden Christian church in the United States. If the Christians of America were to return to God, to the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they would renounce their evil worship and idolatry of Antichrist Zionism, God would then give the country pastors with God's heart of truth to teach and to feed them. I'll tell you exactly how you can know if revival and when revival ever comes to America. One simple analysis of how you can know if and when revival came to America. The day that Joel Osteen's church is empty. That's the day you'll know revival came to America. As long as these new covenant rejecting mega churches remain mega churches, it is a sign that God is judging America's Christians because of their backsliding against his new covenant, which his son Jesus died to give us. Amen. When Christian people repent of their backsliding, pride, selfishness, and stubbornness, and turn away from their idolatrous relationship with Zionist Israel, and turn to Christ and his new covenant, God will give America real pastors. I say this to the online audience, with all of the love that I have in my heart. But what I say is true. If all of you Christians who say you understand the new covenant and the evil idolatry of Zionism would get out of the Christian Zionist churches you are attending and become a beacon of light for the truth of the new covenant, you might help to hasten the spiritual revival in our land. But as long as you remain in these apostate Zionist churches, for whatever personal reason you have, you are aiding and abetting the inducement of God's judgment upon our land. You are helping the Zionist Antichrist to stay in power in our land, thus extending the judgment of God upon us. Wait till we get to Revelation chapter 18. You say, well, I can't find a truth-preaching pastor in my town. I want fellowship. I want friendship. I bet Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel would like to have had a few friends, don't you? They didn't have a truth-telling pastor to fellowship with either. We know little about their personal lives. We know a little bit, but not much. So I can't come on that specifically for absence of scriptural revelation on the matter. But we know they didn't have very many friends. I mean, you know, when the town gets together, puts you in the corner, and starts throwing stones at you, you might deduce you don't have many friends in that city. Sure, it's natural for all of us to want friends. There's a void in our lives if we don't have friends. I'll tell you the truth, though. If your friendship is not based on truth, I'm not sure those people you say are your friends at all. Because when push comes to shove and you really know what truth is, and you are forced to make a decision or a stand for truth, you're going to find out that all these friends of yours in that church you're attending, they weren't really your friends after all. They're turn on you and throw stones at you, if not figuratively. Fellowship, real fellowship, can only be predicated upon truth. Yeah, we all would like to have a lot of things. But sometimes whenever you're standing for the truth and doing what's right and following Jesus, you have to take up a cross and follow him. And if the cross means you lose some friends, that's really pretty small price to pay. I don't know who said this. I don't know the source. If I find the source, I might find out that it's an organization that I don't like. I have no idea. I don't know the source, but I love their motto. And it goes like this. Our friends come and go. Our enemies come and go, but our principles never change. Amen. God's divorce from America is almost complete. But thank God, there is still time for God's people to come back to their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his glorious, everlasting new covenant. Where were you, Christian, preacher, before 1948? You were in love with Jesus. You were in love with the gospel. You were in love with the new covenant, made possible by the blood, death, and resurrection of our Savior. And then 1948 came along, and Zionist Israel was born, and you ran off with her as your lover. And you've been in love with her ever since. And you've left your first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the shadows. As the prophet Jeremiah said to the Israelites, "Return, O backsliding nation. I will forgive you." I believe God is still willing to forgive America. I believe he's still willing to bless America. I believe he's still willing to be gracious with America. I think his patience with us proves that. It's now whether or not we will indeed continue the adulterous relationship the church has with Zionist Antichrist Israel, or whether we will love again our true Savior, our true Lord, our true friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship according to his glorious, everlasting new covenant. Let's stand for prayer. If I'm talking to anybody that's never been saved, if I'm talking to someone who's never put their trust in Jesus Christ, my message is to Christians, but my appeal to you now as an unsaved person, you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Your church membership will not save you. Your good works will not save you. Your baptism will not save you. The Mosaic law will not save you. You're not a Christian because your mom and dad were a Christian. You must come to Jesus yourself by faith, with a spirit of humility, trusting Jesus and Jesus alone for your soul salvation. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose from the dead for you. He's coming in judgment upon this country and the Western world very soon. No man knows the day or hour of anything. But there is no question. The signs of his judgment are everywhere. I've only given you a few small number of examples today. You don't want to be caught in the judgment of Christ unsaved. You have nothing to look forward to but hell. It won't get any better after you die if you're not saved. Dear friend, put your trust in Jesus. You don't need a preacher sitting at your side. In your heart of hearts, you can call out to him in humility and faith and receive him as your Savior right now. You don't need anybody's help. This is between you and God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure you know Christ as your Savior, trust him right now. Heavenly Father, bless to our hearts the truth of your message. May lives be changed today because people heard this message. In Jesus' name, amen.